I invite Meg Gillard to come and share the gospel reading with us.
This is the gospel from John 14, 15 through 27. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Now Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. The word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid."
This is another reading, as last week's was, from a very long series, 14 through 17 in John's Gospel, which the writer of John shares in the setting of being Jesus' last words with his disciples on the night he knew he would be betrayed, arrested, and then eventually killed. But I read these words as words to us because they're right. He's writing to them about how it's going to work once I'm not with you. How's it going to be? I've been thinking a lot lately about how you stay connected and in relationships when you're not physically present with somebody. Probably has a lot to do with having an 8-month-old grandson in Saudi Arabia that we're trying to have a little relationship over FaceTime. Hi, James, you know, and wondering, does he really registering who we are? And now we've got a son in Colorado, and we're trying to catch him when we can by a text here or a 2-minute conversation there. It made me remember when I was a child growing up overseas in East Pakistan, later Bangladesh, that the only way we had to communicate with family back here was letters. And a letter would take, 10 days, 2 weeks to get here. By the time you got an answer, the question was usually irrelevant. I remember that as well when I went off to college and they were overseas. We live in a very different time, right? We now can do FaceTime, we can do text, we can do email, we can communicate very quickly, and yet we can Zoom. And yet there is that sense that when you're not in the same space, you got to figure out how the relationship works. You have to adapt. Cynthia Bourgeau uses the metaphor that after his resurrection, so again before in his preparatory speeches here in John, or after the resurrection in the other Gospels and in John, Jesus is trying to get them to shift gears to a whole new operating system. The old operating system won't work anymore. How's the new operating system going to function? She uses the story, which some of you have heard me tell, of the family years ago in Turkey whose son had gone off to America, and they were so proud of him and they loved getting letters from him. And then one day he sent them this great big crate with this thing in it. And they thought it was beautiful, but it looked kind of like a wooden cabinet. So they were like, okay, he sent us a cabinet for some reason. So they set it in a place of honor in their living room and they showed it off to everybody. And finally someone visited them and sort of thought, and said, can I look at it? And he looked in the back and opened it up, and it was a ham radio. But they didn't know. They thought it was just a cabinet. I used it for their best tea set to display. And Cynthia Bourgeau says, we function like that a lot with God. We've been given a whole new way to connect and communicate, but a lot of times we just sit it in the corner and admire it, not understanding that there's a higher frequency, a new operating system available to us. That operating system is the Spirit. Jesus promises them the Spirit. You won't see me, others won't see me, and yet you will see me, you won't know me. The language kind of is, as Marjorie said at Bible study, this stuff in John feels like some kind of Zen koan going on, right? It is. Because it takes a different kind of understanding. They had to make a switch to a different way of relating to Jesus. One, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I've always found that a little odd, because Jesus doesn't talk about commandments and obeying in other places in the scripture, really? I mean, they ask him, what's the great commandment? And the other Gospels, and he says, love God, love your neighbor as yourself. But in general, Jesus doesn't use commandment and obedience language, but he does here. And yet then in what he says is, there's only one commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. I think John's showing us the contrast. You don't need 10 commandments. You don't need the 600 and something rules that Orthodox Jews try to follow. You just need love. All you need is love, and all you need is love, and it's a lot. It's a lot of work. It takes a lifetime to learn to live in love, to learn to abide in that love, to learn to live out of that love. And so he says, I will not leave you orphaned. You are never alone. I will send my Spirit. The Greek word is paraclete. Here it gets translated advocate. I like some of the other translations better, frankly. Counselor, comforter, spirit of truth, teacher, guide. All of those things are caught up in the word paraclete. And he says, he will teach you everything and remind you of what I've taught you. So the revelation is ongoing. It's not just what Jesus taught, those words we have from him. The Spirit is continuing to teach us, reveal to us, show us what we need to know. So as we prepare for Pentecost in a couple weeks, I invite you to do some reflecting. How does the Spirit show up for you? How do you know it's the Spirit, not just the prompting of your own feelings? In recent years, I've been trying to do better at paying attention to those little prompts that come into my mind. But I'm always like, is this a prompt of the Spirit, or is this my anxiety talking? You know what I mean? How do we know? How do we discern? Well, there's a lifetime of learning about that. Scripture talks about testing the spirits. I think it's often good to check it out with other wise people. In the Quaker tradition, there's a norm of what they call clearness committees. When you have a big decision to make, you meet with some wise people. Not necessarily your best friends or family who have an investment in you, but some of the wisest people you know, and you talk through them the pros and cons of a decision you're trying to make. And their job is not to give you advice. Their job is to help you discern, to listen well and ask good questions. So that's part of what we do for each other in community. But I think it's worth thinking about. How's the Spirit showing up in your life these days? Linda had the experience. I often have the experience here. The experience of sharing a message, an address, whatever, speech, and then finding out that it made this connection to what that student had said to his mother the week before he died. I cannot tell y'all how often I sit here knowing what I'm getting ready to share in my message and listen to and reading, singing the hymns and thinking, oh, this was really a good hymn I chose, but I didn't know it was this good. Because when I'm choosing the hymns, I haven't figured out exactly what I'm going to say. That's Spirit. That's not me. When it really connects and fits together, that's the Spirit working through us, not just me. Part of working with the Spirit is just trying to be open and trust, right? That we don't have to have it all figured out, that we don't have to be all in control, that the Spirit can use us even when we don't know what we're doing. And there are the other times that some of you will say to me, I really liked how you talked about da-da-da, and you'll say me something I said, and I think, did I say that? Like, I don't know if I said that or if I said that, but you heard what you needed to hear, right? That's the Spirit of God that we can trust, that God is working through the Spirit among us to guide us, to lead us, to teach us what we need to know. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. There's a lot of days right now when all I have to do is read the news for about 5 minutes, and I need this promise. My peace I leave with you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. The Spirit of God is, what's the word? Is it bigger? Is it, I don't know how we talk about it even, but just to say we can trust the Spirit of Christ. Even when things seem most difficult or most dire in some ways, when we're most concerned about what's happening in our lives, in our country, in our world. Is it good? No. Are there bad things? Yes. And yet, the peace of Christ passes all understanding. The peace can carry us. It's like it's that foundation underneath the turmoil. Or that, what metaphor worked for you? Maybe, you know, like there's a storm on the lake, and on the top of the lake it's all rough, but you know if you could get down to the bottom, the water's still calm. That's the peace of Christ, that calm underneath. Or as Yogananda, a Hindu mystic, that prayer that some of we used to use at Saturday evening prayer, even when tossing on the wave in a storm, you're still on the bosom of the ocean. You're still held by God's abiding love. So let us not be afraid. Let our hearts not be troubled. Let us hold on to the peace that can give us the courage and strength to do what we are called to do, knowing that ultimately being successful is not the point. What matters is to be faithful, to respond as the Spirit leads us and be faithful and trust to God for whatever success may look like. We abide in the Spirit, and the Spirit abides in us. We are held in this relationality of love and peace that passes all understanding. That's the promise. And it is a promise kept for the rest, forever, for eternity.